El Shaddai is another name. I love that name. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the one who can meet every need that we have. If we need healing, he's got that for us. If we need peace, he's got that for us. If we need deliverance, he's got that for us. If we need finances, he's got that for us. He's the all-sufficient one. He is all things that we need. And when he comes with everything we need. He is El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. In other words, he's the provider as well. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals me is one of his names. Found in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, I believe it is. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. He has healing in his wings. When he comes, healing comes. He is our healer. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. He's not worked up one bit. I have to remind myself that a lot of times. When things don't go right, or if I get anxious about something, I think the Lord's not anxious about this. It's not bothering him at all. He is our peace. He is the one who walks in the fullness of peace. He's not only talking about he's not at war, it talks about he's got an inner peace on the inside of him. And he operates completely in peace at all times. And he has that for every believer. He wants us to walk in peace. He does. If we are rattled about anything, if we are anxious about anything, if we are out of peace, the very first thing that we should work at is getting our peace back. And begin to take the word of the Lord and wash over us until we are walking steadfast in that peace. Because God can't speak to us if we're in a place of anxiousness, if we're in a place of worry. Worry is sin. Say that with me. Worry is sin. We have to realize that, folks. Worry is sin. It doesn't matter what it is that you're worrying about. It is sin because if you worry, you're not in peace. You can't be in worry and in peace at the same time. And if we're worrying about something, get it out. Get the peace of God in there and realize that your source is in him. And he's got peace for you if you'll seek after it. Seek after peace. He is our peace. And Emmanuel is another name that most of us all know. And it means God is with us. He is with us. He's right here, right now. He's with whatever you're going through. God is with us. He is with us. So he's the great and creator one. He's the Lord, our companion. He's the Lord, our shepherd. He's the Lord, our righteousness. He's the one who sees. He's the all-sufficient one. The Lord, he provides everything we need. He's our healer. He is the Lord of peace, and he is here with us. So all these things he has available for you and I. Now, I want you to relate back just a little bit again to Luke chapter 5. I started out this morning at the very beginning. Before we even started the service, we started with Luke chapter 5, verse 17, where it said that the power of the Lord was present to heal. But there was only one healing mentioned. I'm sure there was all kinds of people who needed healing in that situation, but there was only one that actually received healing. And so the power of the Lord can be present to heal, and people just miss it. In other words, there has to be something happen in order to receive your healing. It's not good enough just to have the power of the Lord present to heal. There has to be some kind of response to the healing power of God when it's present. When God comes in, there has to be a response to his presence, or he'll feel all unwelcome. When God comes in, there has to be a response from you personally that he's here. Can you imagine if there was half a dozen people or a dozen people or 1,000 people sitting in a room and unexpectedly the prime minister of the nation walked in? Now you guarantee that there would be a response. There would be some kind of response to recognize somebody. The prime minister came in. The prime minister just came in. The prime minister just walked in. There'd be a response. I mean, the prime minister is a busy man. So if he walked into a room, nobody paying attention to him at all, he'd just simply say, well, I guess I don't need to be here. And he'd be gone because he's got better things to do than spending time with people who won't acknowledge his presence. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes, when God comes in his presence, there demands a response. Just the same way I was talking about how we need to prepare ourselves to be here in the morning. Claude said, be here at least by 10:30 next week. Now, don't be here by 10:30. We should be entering in. Be here earlier. Get yourself, pray, be ready to praise the Lord when you come. And you might say, well, Pastor, I just don't get into this kind of pray, worship and praise and so forth. Well, there is somebody who is coming here that needs healing in their body or they're not going to make it. And it could depend on our time of praise and worship. It could depend on that time. And if we come strolling in at a different time, causing disturbance in the time of worship and praise, we could be costing somebody's healing. You might say, well, that's kind of hard, Pastor. Well, it may be, but I believe it's the truth. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that if we, you know, Brother Kenneth Hagin, he pastored, he said, about 12 years and a number of churches, but he said there was only one church, a small congregation in one church that he was able to get to the place of unity and honor that the flow of the Holy Spirit was unhindered. He felt in their midst. And there was only one church. Well, it shows me that not many are going to make it, but it also shows me that if it can happen to one, it could happen to this one. It could. It could. If those of us who love the Lord took our time and honored Him and say, we're going to meet the King. As a body of believers now, we're going to meet the King this morning. We're going to meet the one who is everything that I need. We're going to meet the one that desires to pour out good gifts to us. Praise the name of Jesus. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Glory to God. That's a benefit of heaven. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. That scripture means more to me every day. What are you laughing at, Robert? So that youth is renewed like the eagles. These are benefits of heaven, folks. Forget none of His benefits. His benefits come with His presence. And if we're not honoring His presence, then the benefits may not be available to us. Again, Luke chapter 5, verse 17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. The benefit of healing was present. But only one took advantage. Only one had advantage of the presence. When His presence comes, He brings all these things. Listen to this in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro over the whole earth, looking for those who love Him so that He can show Himself strong on their behalf. Think about this now. The Lord is, eyes of the Lord are looking over the whole earth, and He's saying, I'm looking for somebody who loves me, who cares about me, so I can show my strength to them. I can show myself strong on their behalf. It seems that he has so much to offer, so that He's looking for a people that will respond to His presence so that He can be strong on their behalf. If we are honoring His presence, He's going to show Himself strong. Well, His strength is the greatest strength. It's stronger than cancer. His strength is stronger than kidney disease. His strength is stronger than any defect that you ever had. He wants to show Himself strong on our behalf. Praise the Lord Jesus. Psalms 86:11. Teach me Your way, O Lord, and I will walk in Your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear Your name. That I might fear Your name. That I might walk, and fear Your name simply means to walk in the awe of Your name. Walk in the awe of the fact that You're my healer, You're my peace, You're my provider, You're my deliverer. You're the one who meets all my needs. I walk in that. Lord, give me an undivided heart. In other words, Lord, don't let my heart, half my heart be over here in the world of entertainment, wanting to entertain the flesh all the time, and half of my heart over here trying to think about God and trying to go his way. Give me an undivided heart, Lord, so that my eyes will be on you. I'll wholeheartedly desire to serve you. Give me an undivided heart. God is asking you today to express that to him. Will you give him your heart undivided? How would we do that? How would we give him an undivided heart? Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I want us to think now just a couple of minutes about your members. What's it mean, your members? I want us to think about this. That your members that is spoken about here, which is part of who you are, is your five senses. We see with our eyes, we smell with our nose, we speak with our mouth, we touch with our hands. Give us an undivided heart. Take those five senses and present them to God. To present my sense of sight to God means that I won't look at some things that I shouldn't look at. To present the sense of touch to God means that I won't touch anything I shouldn't touch. I won't get into that place of operating from the sense realm or from the arena of just being able to be happy by what I feel in the natural. Whether we realize it or not, our eyes, our mouth, our ears, our sense of smell, the things that we touch, these are portals of which we communicate with this natural world with. You know, we can touch something. We have an understanding of this pulpit by not with our portals of our eyes and the way, and we touch it, you know, and if it was made out of cedar or something, you'd probably be able to smell the cedar aroma off it. It's something that we come in contact with, these portals. Well, we are able to see with our eyes, we are able to hear with our ears in the natural, because there is a sense of seeing and a sense of hearing in the spiritual. And when we take these five senses that the world manipulates, that the devil is doing everything he can to manipulate, so that we look at things of the world, things begin to come into us and begin to control us. But if we sanctify these, if we set these apart, if we say, I'll look on no evil thing, I'll touch no evil thing, I'll listen to no evil thing, I will not listen to anything that will hinder my communion with the Lord. If we'll do that, then these portals of these senses will be used in a righteous fashion. So an undivided heart would mean that we have determined to take our five senses and dedicate them to God. And that we'll only allow things of the Lord, things of heaven, things that are wholesome and pure and good to come through these portals. Now it is quiet in here. I know this speaks to me. I've been studying this, praying about this, and so forth, and I'm telling you, there's things that came to my mind that I'm sure going to be careful about. If we'll allow these things to be tuned in to the things of the Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit will be ours. I'm convinced of it. If we'll come before the Lord with an undivided heart, knowing that the Lord knows better. He is the one who made the creation and wrote the manual on how that creation should operate. He wrote it. And so as you and I dedicate ourselves to God by dedicating our five senses, I believe our heart will become aligned with him and his glory. We all want his glory. Sure, we all do. But there's too many of us saying, I just want to get in on it. What that means is I want the glory that comes from the glorious one, but I don't want to have to become the person that's able to fellowship with the glorious one. Most of the church is in that place. But he wants us to come to the place where we will be changed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will fellowship with the Father. I mean, Jesus fellowshiped with him all the time. And the more we're like Jesus, the more fellowship we'll have with the Father. Stand with me, please. I want us just to take a moment now, and I want us to commit our senses to the Lord, our five physical senses to the Lord, because it is committing. We're going to declare, make a decree. We're going to declare that, Lord, these natural eyes, these natural ears, our natural sense of smell, our natural sense of touch, Lord, we are dedicating them to you. We want these portals, as it were, to be doorways for good and not for evil, to doorways of things of the Spirit of God and not of this world. When you think about it, I mean, the indication is pretty clear. When you look at this world and you see all the energy and finances that are put into influencing you and I through these five senses, God says, dedicate them to me. Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we declare, we desire the benefits of heaven in every part of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we believe that you have created us to receive from heaven. So now, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you as people of God, that we might receive from the things of heaven, that we might receive through the avenues that you have given us, through the avenues of our five senses, in the name of Jesus. We commit to you, Lord, our eyes, that we might look upon the things of God, that we would not allow any evil thing to come before us, that we might not look upon evil, in Jesus' name. Lord, we commit our ears to you, that we might sanctify our ears, set them apart to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. In the name of Jesus, I desire to keep out of my hearing those things that would hinder me from hearing from the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I commit my nose, which is the sense of smell. I commit it to you, Lord, that the fragrance of life, that which is unholy, I would abhor. But that which is holy, that which is pure, that which comes from you, I open myself to. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I commit my mouth to you, God, that I will speak that which is in line with the Word of God, that which is in line with heaven. I speak forth the Word of God. I desire, Lord, that by your Spirit, my tongue would have a guard over it, that I would not speak evil, that I would only speak life. Lord, I commit my hands to you. Father, I desire that what I put my hands to would be pleasing to you. I commit myself to you now. My sense of touch, my sense of feeling, I commit it to you, that I even might sense your presence in a greater way. That the power of the Lord that is present to heal would never be in my presence without me sensing it, that I would receive from the presence of the Lord. I thank you, God. I dedicate myself to you now in the name of Jesus, and I declare that I belong to him and to him only in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord God Almighty, you heard your people, Father, make a statement of dedication to you, Lord. Father, that we would be a people who would come with an undivided heart, totally devoted to you. We're expecting, God, your anointing upon our confession will cause things to change in our lives, God. That great things will happen because of your anointing, because of the things that will be brought forth because of our statement of faith today. For I have called you to walk in righteousness before me. I have called you to walk in a place of holiness before me. But I have not left you alone to be able to manufacture your own holiness. It is my holiness that I desire that you walk into. It is my righteousness that holds you stable even in the midst of a world of darkness. For I have chosen a people out from even among you to walk with me, that I might display my glory in their midst. And even as the glory of God is beginning to be displayed in new levels and new measures, then I will release others to come and partake of that glory. For the glory of the Lord is what will drive out those things that the enemy has used to try to manipulate the people that are living in darkness. For the darkness is about to be dispelled over even this very island, and the things of the Spirit will be released into the places, the hidden places of darkness. For it is within those hidden places of darkness that there are strongholds. But my strength and my glory will take care of those strongholds and deal with them as my people walk in the holiness of God. Then there shall come a great influx into the body of believers, into the body of Christ, so that God will be glorified. And many will look and say, what is happening? There seems to be so many people turning to become people of God. There are so many who are turning from what they used to do and now are putting their hand to the plow of the kingdom of God and seeing things in the kingdom manifest, seeing things of the kingdom take first place in their lives. For it is my desire that my people would put the kingdom first so that they will be able to receive of the tools that is needed in order to work the works of the kingdom of God in this day. For the glory of the Lord will be behind the work of my people, for it is my Spirit that will initiate the work. And as my Spirit initiates the work, then my anointing and my glory will be upon it to bring it to pass. And great shall be the harvest, great shall be the joy, great shall be the display of righteousness in this land, says God.